Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, text those in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can here with Wyman and Bob. Hello, John.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Oh, I've been better.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, not the goons from AT&T.
Are the goons from AT&T Direct messing TV. With you?
No, I'm having computer problems.
You're having computer problems?
Sons of guns.
Oh, whose fault is it? Let's get them on the horn.
It's no fault of anybody except Microsoft or whatever, but it's like...
except Microsoft.
And basically, it's not like there's anything wrong with the machine. I just can't get my desktop icons because I got some blue screen with apps in front of it, and I can't get rid of the app thing.
The blue screen of death.
Yeah, I know.
All right, text it in, 710-710, if you have a solution for the professor, if you've seen this.
Let's get Bill Gates on the line. Can we get Gates to handle this personally? You might have to take it to, what are those guys called, the Geek Squad or something like that?
Yeah.
You might have to take it in, John.
This should be a simple thing. It's because, I mean, I can see the icons behind it, but I just can't get that blue app thing gone.
Oh. And you're talking to somebody who's not very literate when it comes to computers, so I can't help you. I'm sorry, John.
I'm a pen and pencil or a paper guy, John.
So
what did you do with your database? I mean, obviously, you've been doing this before, the age of computers. You just have, like, notebooks and...
No, it's all on the computer.
Well, no, I know,
no,
but
before computers.
But like before computers, when you were covering the league and stuff.
Oh yeah, I had paperwork like crazy. I mean, it was always getting paperwork type stuff.
I know people don't want to hear the answer to this, but I do, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Too bad. Hang tight. Do you throw those away, or do you keep things?
No, I
over?
Keep everything.
You keep everything.
Yeah. Wow. So he's got file boxes.
Oh yeah.
So,
that's good stuff, though, man. Sometimes you go back and look at that stuff, and you forget, like, oh, in 2013, you know what your thoughts were and stuff like that. So. All right, John. Well, we wish you the best. Well,
I need it. It's turning into a very bad day.
Somebody says Geek Squad. Somebody says buy a Mac. Yeah.
All right. I need this now.
Needs it now. All
most
right.
Most popular answer is hold the power button until it turns off. Reboot it.
I've done that 3 times.
Oh, all right. Well, plan
so far,
B.
I
thought John was going to say that's what the goons at AT&T said.
The goons.
Or at Microsoft.
John, we were just talking with Brock in the last hour about this matchup with the Rams, and I'm seeing that they're... their 74-year-old left tackle, Whitworth, is coming off the IR. He's expected to start. And it looks like, or, you know, just looking at tweets about Jared Goff, that he practiced, he had no setbacks after Wednesday's practice, went through everything. I assume we're going to see him start, don't you?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, we'll see how long he can go, if he can go and do it well. I still wonder if he's, you know, 12 days after surgery on the thumb, that he can do an effective job throwing the football, knowing one of the most important things for him is the play-action pass. Because it's not just a matter of throwing the football. It's a matter of getting the ball deep to Cooper Kupp and Josh Reynolds and those guys. And, you know, you notice when he can't do that, if you take away the running game and there's no play-action passes, that's the struggle you saw in the last game that he played against Seattle.
John, Browns and Steelers still on track for Sunday, despite Cleveland with some COVID tests positive. What do you think? What's the sort of fallout of, you know, how bad is this for the Browns?
Bad, really bad. Because, you know, like, for example, today, Andrew Zendejo, who's a backup safety, he came off the COVID list. And sure enough, the starting safety, Ronnie Harrison, who they traded for this year, he went on the COVID list, and so it's on so late that he's not going to be able to play. They don't know what they have at cornerback because Denzel Ward, you don't know if he's going to be cleared. Kevin Johnson, the former Houston Texan, you don't know if he's going to be cleared. You know, Joe Bitonio, their best guard, maybe their best offensive lineman, he's going to miss the game. They got Kevin Stefanski and other coaches are going to miss the game. It's almost too much. I mean, they're down 6-7 starters, and, you know, maybe a couple of them can come back. But, you know, the ones that are now added to the list this late, they're definitely out, and that's not a good thing.
John, what's going on with the Eagles? It looks like they're reshaping their entire coaching staff, with the exception of Doug Peterson. Their senior offensive assistant is gone. Their senior offensive consultant and Marty Morningweg is gone. Jim Schwartz is not coming back. Who else? They parted ways with Mike Groh, their offensive coordinator, right? So is it? I mean, I guess that's a sign that he is going to stay. There was speculation as to whether he was going to be gone, but he's just going to rebuild the staff.
That's right. And so it's not going to be an easy thing to do. And then you got the problems at the quarterback position. I guess, you know, they have quarterbacks, but how can they fix them up because, you know, Jalen Hurst didn't finish the season well. You know that they've got major problems with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is taking some time right now to see if he still wants to stay an Eagle because he was disappointed by the way that Doug Peterson handled things. So, and the even worse, they got so many cap issues because they got the second most cap money that's going to be tied up. And so they're like $60 to $70 million over. And I don't know how they're going to be able to trim that down.
Hey, John, I was reading an article about, you know, possibly the upsets or a team that could, you know, make a push. I'll tell you, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a pretty brutal loss to New Orleans, but they whooped Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And that was during the Seahawk bye week, 38-10, picked off Aaron Rodgers two or three times, and I think it was like three, and he's only got, what, five or six interceptions, so... Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you about Devin White because I know that he's out this week. But is it that bad that like he's going to miss the playoffs? Or are they going to get him back? What do we know about?
They should
their
be able
health?
To get him back next week. I mean, you know, I think he had it so late in the week, and I guess I mean he still might have a chance. I know that Shaq Barrett came off the COVID list yesterday, and they both went on about the same time. But you know, doesn't look like he's going to be able to play this week. But he should be able to go next week because basically, I mean, you need 10 days if you have a positive test, and they're not taking any exceptions. I mean, for example, I mean, you saw what they did with Matthew Stafford. Now, he didn't have a positive test, but he at least had a close contact. And so he had to wait 5 days. And that by that fifth day, he couldn't make the team plane because of the time that he got the, you know, the high contact and thing that he had to fly separate to be able to get to the game. We saw that with Cleveland Browns left tackle a couple weeks ago, well, actually about a week or so ago, because, you know, he had a high contact and he was finally able to be cleared in the evening on Saturday, but he had to take a flight. He flew there and he had to scratch him because illness. So it's like, you know, there's a waiting game that you have to play and there's no way to get around it. And if you put yourself in a position as a team and a coaching staff and all that, where you're going to bring, you know, COVID into the building and bring it into the room, and they've done a bad job in Cleveland with that because they got a couple of different strains that are there. It really sets you back.
John, the 208 is asking, Professor, do you think the Bears can beat the New Orleans Saints and give Seattle another home playoff game?
I do not. I think it's going to be very tough. Now, again, you know, we'll see how Drew Brees holds up, you know, coming off the broken ribs, but he sure did a great job last week. And since coming back into two games, putting up some good numbers, and he's going to have Alvin Kamara likely to be able to play. Michael Thomas is going to come off the injured list. But the problem I see, because I know that Mitch Trubisky, you know, got praise for the four straight games where he scored over 30 points, but they were against four of the six worst offenses or defenses in the league. And so he put up points on bad teams and didn't even get a 300-yard game. Then, of course, what happened last week, he plays Green Bay 31-16. He loses and didn't have a good game. So I just think it's going to be tough because say what you want. I know that the Bears have a good defense, and that's true, but if it comes into a scoring type of game, which most likely it does with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, you know, Mitch can't pull that off.
What do you think about your hometown Stillers, John, in the playoffs? This is starting to look, you know, better. It's too bad, John, for the Browns. I mean, that's really a tragic thing. We're talking about all the positive tests there. But, man, they haven't been to the, what did you say, 2007 or something?
2002.
Oh, my gosh. 2002 since the Browns have been to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, they're starting to play pretty well. But it looks pretty good for the Steelers. And they were looking good for a really long time. But with Ben Roethlisberger, what do you make of his season, and can they possibly upset the Chiefs down the road?
I'd say it's going to be tough because the one thing that's going to be missing that you're still going to need if you're going to be playing in a cold weather game, depending on how the weather is going to be, is that you need to run the football. They can't run the football. They're the worst running offense in the league, and so that puts more on Ben Roethlisberger, and you saw what happened for 3.5 weeks. You know, the coaches had him throwing shorter, quick passes, and teams figured it out, and they were pretty much anticipating what Ben was going to do, and so he played horrible. Then, of course, he basically takes over the game in the second half against the Colts, starts throwing the ball deep, and they light it up and have an incredible comeback from a 17-point deficit. So in this one, I mean, the advantage is, again, not knowing what's going to be available in the secondary, because if you're talking three or your top five guys out in the secondary, is there enough depth to cover for that? And that could be the case for the Browns. And again, you don't know what other tests might become positive, because just like today, it's like, okay, they got Andrew Zendejo back, but then they lose their starting safety. So it's not a good situation.
John, the 509 says, is there a class or intervention that Mike McCarthy can go to help him be a better coach? Can Jerry just fire him? His game management is horrible.
Well, I mean, you got 32 and a half million reasons why they're not going to fire him. It was a 5-year deal at 32 mil. So they're not going to fire an $8.4 million coach and give him, 4 years at 8.4. So, that's not going to happen. But in the end, it was a $40.2 million contract. But in the end, it's going to be, he's got to, makes a few changes on his staff. I mean, they were lucky in the sense that, Kellen Moore is staying. I think they need to make a change at defensive coordinator because Mike Nolan made things too complicated for their defense, trying to make it a hybrid defense when they've been drafting for 4-3, and guys just didn't pick up on what they wanted to do.
Hey, what did you make of Jerry Jones' comments where I would imagine the agent for Dak Prescott is smiling ear to ear when he hears the owner say, well, he's got all the leverage now. I mean, what do you think he's looking at financially?
Well, I mean, you figure that, can you get true value when you don't know what the cap is going to be and the cap may come down significantly? I think that, he's probably thinking he can get more than $40 million a year, but I tend to doubt that because, what you're looking at is I know that it was, considered to be $45 million for Patrick Mahomes, but that's a backloaded deal that basically pays him $40 million in the first five and $50 million in the last 5 years. But, of course, it's a 10-year contract. And then, of course, Deshaun Watson, which I think is going to be close to what Dak could get, got $39 million. And then there's rumblings that now he might want to ask to be traded. But guess what? He has a no-trade clause that he put in his contract. So it's like, oh, good luck on that one.
Hey, John, I see Marvin Lewis kind of back in the fold for a coaching job. I always really liked him. It seemed like Cincinnati, the Bengals, had the Hard Knocks show for two or 3 years or something. But I loved him. But he just couldn't get his team to win in the playoffs. But since he left the Bengals have gone 6-25-1. So I'm not sure what he's been doing over the last year. And
he was at Arizona State with Herm Edwards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So, do you think he's going to get back in the NFL?
I think so, yeah. A lot of people.
You like him, John?
I do. I like him a lot. I know that, he takes the criticism for going to the playoffs 7 times and losing 7 games. But remember, he took the Bengals to the playoffs for five straight years and 2 other different trips. And, of course, it's not like he had a lot of resources because, I know that of late, particularly in the last, during that 5-year stretch where they went to the playoffs every year with Andy Dalton at quarterback, they did a much better job of keeping the players that they drafted. Now, again, the tact is, and I know that Duke Tobin is the one that's very much responsible for that because what Duke set up is, hey, listen, it's like, we're not going to pay you the highest, but we're going to be the loyalist. And so it's like, if you get a 5-year deal for us, you're pretty much going to get the 5 years. And so there's been a couple of exceptions as far as that, but guys like T.J. Houshmandzadeh and others, according to Duke, came back and said, you're right about that. I got $7 million from Seattle, but look how short I was there, didn't get the full length of the contract. And so it's like, and for the most part, most of the players that have gotten the long-term deals get to stay there for the long term.
John, have you heard much in the way of feedback from these interviews with Robert Saleh and Eric Bieniemy and some of these coaching candidates out there?
Not much, because again, it's like it's a 2-hour window that you do on Zoom. So, and they're doing so many of them, it's like their head's got to be spinning. But I would imagine that Saleh's going to do well because most people think he's going to get one of the 6 jobs in the league. I think he's already been requested for 5 of the 6. So something's good's got to happen there. And I would imagine it's like, you're not flying there. You're doing it in on the phone and all that stuff. I mean, it may not be what you would like if you're the owner, but at least you get a chance to talk and get as much done as quickly as you can.
Yeah, that's got to be really tough to make that assessment. But, yeah, everybody on the same page. Baker Mayfield, it's one thing to be positive, but this is ridiculous. About not practicing all week, he says it will not have an impact.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Give me a break.
Less practice is definitely not good, John.
Dave, he woke up feeling dangerous.
Well, and then the bad part for his commercials, he's not going to be at the stadium because he has to go to Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Those commercials are so good.
Doesn't he do a good job in those
he
commercials?
He does, yeah.
But He has really had, I think we need to give him due credit. I really thought he was quite the donkey. Now, this is, look, he really is trying to be, you know, positive and everything. It's because I can't say the other word, Bob.
Yeah.
And I'm going to knock this plastic partition.
I'm going to take a shot to the head here.
Yeah, between soon. Us, because of the COVIDs, we've got this thing here, John. But anyway, I think you got to really, we got to give Baker Mayfield his due credit. He really turned it around. I didn't think he would. But, you know, he stopped talking. He makes great commercials. He had a good year. He got his team to the playoffs, and it seems like he's matured.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. I mean, and I think that you give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit for what he's done. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to have Kevin at his side helping him out during the course of the game because Kevin tested positive for COVID. It's not going to be able to be at the game and can't contact him during the game. But the big thing that he did was changed to get to a more running offense. And by having the running offense, less passes were required from Baker. And so Baker was able to, you know, go ahead and, not have to do as much. But then he started to get more confidence to a point where really in the last 5 weeks of the season, he played really well.
John, the 253 asking, Professor, can you tell us what you were going to say about Carlos Dunlap yesterday? Did you leave off something with Dunlap?
I don't think so. I mean, again, just how – I think the only thing that maybe we didn't fully spread out is that, I would have to think that even – what's he making, about $11.5 million a year? I think that, being in his 30s right now, and I think if he wants to stay, I think he realizes he probably has to take a pay cut, and they can still give him a respectful number, but I don't know if he can stay at that level because say what you want. Let's say Seattle does cut him. Is he on the open market going to get $11-plus million a year? And I'd say the answer is no. So, I think Dunlap, there's no question, wants to stay because he likes it here. He's winning now that he hasn't done since Marvin Lewis was there in Cincy and Andy Dalton was there in Cincy. And so I think that they could work something out. Again, it'll be less than the 11 plus million, but I think that they can work it out. I hate to get Carlos upset with me trying to negotiate his deal, but it's just reality to what it is, and he saw the reality. It's like, okay, Bengals have a lot of cap room, but they thought he was getting older and too old, and they were wrong, and he comes here and he does great.
So what would be the price tag, you think, realistically?
I'd think realistically 6 or 7.
John, is Bud Dupree a Steeler next year from the 509?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be tough because, remember, they still have to do something with T.J. Watt. And, and when you're talking, you got a $41 million cap number on Ben Roethlisberger. And, they got to restructure some things there. There's other restructures. I mean, they're probably in the fifth, sixth spot as far as, tough cap situations. So to be able to think that he keep Bud, it's going to be really tight.
Well, and also I would think that he would try to – these outside backers in the 3-4, they want to get paid like a defensive end. And is it going to happen?
It could, very well could, because, you still want a guy that can get double-digit sacks. Now, I know it was tougher this year because I only counted up about 10 players that got double-digit sacks, and the only one who could have been new that did it was, the 9.5 by Jamal Adams, who didn't get the 10 sacks, but it was a sack season that just didn't produce great numbers. Now, again, we know that Aaron Donald got his 13.5 and T.J. Watt got his 15, but I was just amazed how few got, 10.
Do you think that the sack totals being down is because they were calling less penalties? There's lots of holding going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for several reasons.
That's what I think.
Yeah, less penalties because, like, for example, last week, I think there was only 12 march-offs of holding penalties and 17 that were called, and it was 12 the week before. So, and I think it's tougher, particularly now with the more mobile quarterbacks, for the defensive edge rushers to be able to get to the quarterbacks.
I'm sorry to interrupt, John. You said 12 the entire weekend?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
And
sorry.
Again, I'm not counting. And again, I just count the offensive plays. I don't count special teams plays, kickers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because again, it's like, what disruptive play on offense, and that's obviously a disruptive play because it takes you back 10 yards. It's a drive killer. But yeah, it's like 12 each in the last 2 weeks. There were 17 called last week, 5 that are declined or offset, but only 12 that were marched off.
Hey, do you expect a deal to get worked out with John Schneider soon?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I can't imagine why they wouldn't. I mean, again, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you paid Pete Carroll on a 5-year deal. I mean, John Schneider is one of the best. And, and it could be one of those things, too. It's like you've got 6 to 7 new general managers, and maybe, it's gone this late, because I think it's gone overtime, that you know, you can try to get it. Because again, it's not like he's underpaid right now. He is, but it's not as bad as others, because you know, a lot of these new deals are in that low $3 million range, and he's above that. But you know, certainly I have to see where John Elway, because John Elway was making over five. But if you're John Snyder, I mean, you deserve to be the highest paid, if not the next to highest paid, general manager in football.
Do they usually try to line him up with Pete in terms of when the contract expires?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and don't you think Pete would be making the a pretty strong case to ownership about John, because they work together so well? I mean, it's almost like you'd have to break a new guy in, unless they probably, I know that they have Scott Fitterer and Trent Kirchner, and you know, they've got some guys in waiting, but still, I mean, it would be kind of a tough transition for Pete too. You'd think he would go to ownership and make the case for John, for sure.
You would think so, and I think that's been, I mean, he's been totally behind John ever since coming here. And because, you know, it was interesting. I had a conversation down in Jacksonville today. He's like, is it better to hire the GM first, the coach? I said, well, it depends on the coach and the GM. In the case of Pete, I mean, you get a guy that, you know, comes out of USC. He'd been so successful. He's been in the NFL. And then you wanted to pair him up with the right guy. And obviously John Snyder was the right guy. You know, certainly if you're John, you'd still like to have the final say in personnel. But that's something that Pete, I think, can work out with John.
One more from the listeners out here, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it. The 509, do the Jags go for a quarterback even though they have Minshew?
No.
That's got to come from Jim.
I mean, no, they're going to go for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's a done deal.
That had to have been from Jim.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's no chance. I mean, I don't know. Minshew probably will get out of there because he's not going to probably want to stay. Wants to probably go to a different place. But no, they're going to go with Trevor Lawrence.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. The professor with us every day at 4 o'clock. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, Paul Moyer will join us. We'll get his thoughts on who will have the biggest impact for the Seahawks defense on Saturday. That is coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.